Morning, I want to invite you to grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 12. We have been on quite a journey together these last couple of months. This next season has been something else, and I want to thank you, church, for how you have received this vision that we believe the Lord has set before us, how you have embraced this vision and responded during this time. I told our staff at our staff advance in January, and I believe I mentioned it to you at the beginning of this series, that, you know, real success as we make our way through this next initiative is not just in raising the funds needed to accomplish our goals, but real success is to come through this campaign, this next initiative, stronger in our faith, stronger in our unity, bonded together as one, eyes on the Lord, and to come through this with just a sense of confidence that we are doing exactly what God has called us to do. And I really believe that God has answered our prayers on this. I can't tell you the number of meetings that I've had, emails that I've received, text messages, conversations, and not just me, our entire staff team, our vision team. You talk to them, and the encouragement and support that we have received regarding this next initiative has just been amazing. I'm calling the message today, Time to Celebrate. We have termed this Sunday Celebration Sunday. And at the end of our time together today, we're going to reveal to you what has taken place as it relates to our first and best offering, what we as a church have given. We're going to share with you what we have decided to pledge and what we have cash on hand and total amount of money given to this next initiative. And here's what I want to do. I want to set all of this up this morning by reminding us of what Next is all about. What is it that we're setting out to do? We may have some new people here who have just been coming to Champion Force in the last several weeks. Others, you've maybe been just sporadically through this, and you're saying, now, what is Next all about? So I want to remind you of that. Then I want us to just take our journey through Nehemiah up to where we are today, Nehemiah chapter 12, and then we'll close the message out and reveal why we're here to celebrate. Sound like a plan? Let's get after it, okay? First, what is Next all about? We have five major components that fit within this next initiative, what we're trying to accomplish through this campaign. And if you recall, we said these five components fit within the focus priorities of our church, what we do as a church, our mission as a church. If you've been here for any length of time, you know what we are about. We are all about making disciples, focus priority number one. We are about loving our community, that's focus priority number two. And we are about strengthening the global church, that's focus priority number three. This is what we're about. And all five components of our next initiative fit under these umbrellas. We're not trying to do something new here, but we are funneling everything that we're attempting to do through the focus priorities and the mission of this church. Our tagline for Next has been, from Northwest Houston to the world. And our theme verse was Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. It says this, enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. There was a sense of urgency there. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Everything we are seeking to do in this next initiative is about the expansion and advance of the gospel. That is lengthening our cords. And it's all about deepening our faith and our commitment and our discipleship. That is strengthening the stakes. It's going deep and it is going wide. The five components of Next were, one, we are looking to remodel this worship center. It has served us well for 23 years and we want to get it in a position to serve us for the next 20 plus years. Secondly, we are adding 15,000 square feet to our North Klein discipleship space for adults and for children, as well as adding a much needed parking lot at our North Klein facility. We're expanding our digital and broadcast ministry. In other words, we want to take, again, from Northwest Houston to the world, the messages that are preached here, both in English and in Spanish, and we want to get it out over the airwaves in every way that we can, through streaming, through radio, through television, through internet, any way that we can. Fourthly, we have an international church planting piece tied to this, where we have partnered with three major mission organizations who have been longtime partners with Champion Forest, and we want to saturate four cities in Europe in our partnership with Greater European Mission. We want to help a church planting movement begin in Nepal with our mission partnership with For All Mankind Movement, and then we are partnering up with the International Mission Board to begin a church planting residency in Madrid. That's the international church planting piece. And then we are planning to start a third campus in the Magnolia area, and this project was to set aside a certain amount of monies for land acquisition should that land come up and be able to present itself. We wanted a little nest egg available to be able to grow that nest egg should land ever come up. These five projects make up the next initiative. And what we've done over the course of the last 6 weeks or so is walk through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a great book when you're setting out to do something great for the Lord. It's a great book to study when you want God to come through in a big way. It involves teamwork and vision. It involves sacrifice and hard work. And so we've looked chapter by chapter at the book of Nehemiah. And today we come to chapter 12. As a reminder of where we've been, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. This was a very powerful and prominent position. And while he's serving the king of Persia, he receives word. This is Nehemiah chapter 1. His brother comes back from being in Jerusalem. He was one of the first groups from the exile that went back to Jerusalem. And when he comes to report to Nehemiah what is taking place in the city, he communicates that Jerusalem, the holy city of God, is in disarray. The walls are down, the gates of the city are burned, and morale in the city of God is at a low. And when Nehemiah hears this message, it breaks him. Matter of fact, it was such bad news to him that if you remember what we talked about in that message, it causes him to sit down, and the Bible says he weeps. He humbles himself. He begins to fast. And for 4 months, he does nothing but pray. Before he ever had a plan, he prays. And when God opens a door for Nehemiah to have a conversation with the king, Nehemiah stepped out on faith and he asked the king for permission to go back to the city of his ancestors and to help rebuild the city. And he doesn't only ask the king for permission to go back, he asked the king to sponsor the trip to pay for it. And in the sovereignty of God, the king allows Nehemiah to go back. He travels 800 miles from Persia to Jerusalem, and when he gets to the city, he and a small group of people, they go out under the cover of darkness. They don't want anybody to see them, and they just walk around the city, and they see the walls in disrepair. And I assume they prayer walk, and they're just observing what's going on, and they call the people together, and Nehemiah issues this challenge to the people. He says, it's time to rise up and build. And what you begin to see take place is this extraordinary amount of teamwork. The people come together. And Nehemiah's project actually becomes the people's project. And shoulder to shoulder, they stand repairing the walls of the city. Now, I want you to remember the walls of the city was representative of their lives. Those walls represented safety and security. It wasn't as much about the rebuilding of the physical walls of Jerusalem as it was what the rebuilding represented and what it allowed for. The rebuilding is so that they could move back into the city, repopulate the city. They could thrive in the city. They could worship as they wanted to worship in the city without fear of attack or opposition coming from the inside or from the outside rather. And Nehemiah, he calls this work of rebuilding the walls in chapter 4, he calls it a great work. And we learn that with every great work that we attempt to do for the Lord, opposition comes. And it certainly did for Nehemiah and the people of Israel. They had people on the outside that were threatening them and mocking them and ridiculing them and lying about them. And they had internal conflict from the inside that was threatening this rebuild. And Nehemiah deals with all of it and he keeps them together. And if you remember, he gives the people a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, and he encourages them to stay at work. And he even says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, the second part, our God will fight for us. They were accomplishing something great for God. There was a sense of urgency at what they were doing, and it took hard work and dedication. But ultimately, they finished the job. And what had been destroyed for 100 years, the walls down, the gates burned for 100 years. By God's grace and by God's power, they rebuild what was broken in 52 days. It was a miracle. And everybody that was watching them work looked at it and said, that doesn't happen without the help of their God. In fact, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 16, for they perceived, all of them, inside of Israel, outside of Israel, when they saw what happened in 52 days, they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And then what happens is amazing. Because Nehemiah gathers the people together and he brings out the scribes and the priests to read the word of God to them and to explain it in a way that they can understand. And if you remember, they stand from sun up to midday listening to the word of God. And as they hear it and as it is explained to them in a way that they can understand, do you remember their response? They start crying. They understand that they haven't kept God's law. And it breaks them so much so that they cry out a prayer of repentance and they ask God for forgiveness. We have not obeyed your law. And they sign a covenant. I mean, they put their names on it and say, God, we commit today to do whatever you tell us to do. And they commit that day that they're going to start doing what God tells them to do. And they exemplify this and they bring back the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they obey what is called for in the Feast of the Tabernacles, not just by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit. They do it exactly as the law commands. And Nehemiah says that hadn't been done since the days of Joshua. It's a time of celebration, and it's a time of remembrance, and they are rejoicing in what God has allowed them to be a part of. You get to chapter 11, they start moving back into the city. You got people moving from the burbs back into the city. And there's great joy. And we get to chapter 12. And here's what I want you to see, big picture in this passage, because what we see happening in Nehemiah chapter 12, I believe, is happening at Champion Forest right now via this next initiative. First, we notice that the people attempt something great for God's glory. We've talked about that. That's the rebuilding of the walls, and they actually achieve it. Secondly, this is Nehemiah chapter 12 we're going to talk about today. The people consecrate themselves and their work to the Lord. We're going to work that out. And the end result of attempting something great for God's glory and consecrating themselves and their work to the Lord, the end result is God gives them great joy. This is the passage. This is the movement of the text. And this is our story today. Let's look at it. Nehemiah chapter 12, starting in verse 27. The Bible says this. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. So here it is. The wall's been rebuilt. The word's been read. People have repented. Covenant's been signed. City's been repopulated. They have attempted and achieved to do something for the glory of God. So what's next? Consecration. They sought the Levites in all of their places to bring them to Jerusalem and to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgivings, with singing, with cymbals and harps and lyres. And verse 28 tells us that they gathered people together from surrounding villages that were in and around Jerusalem. And look at verse 30. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. So this act of purification, this is consecration. It's a way of saying, Lord, our leaders are yours. Lord, we are yours. Lord, this wall that we've built, it's yours. Lord, this city that we live in, it's yours. Now, this is huge right here. The people consecrate their work and their lives to the Lord. Notice, they don't just move on after they rebuilt the wall. Notice, they don't just post it on their social media and then go about their regular business. Instead, they gather everyone together. They worship. They sing. They make sacrifices. They give thanks. It's all an act of consecration where they say, God, all that we have done is yours. And all that we are is yours. And then look at verse 31. And then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall, and I appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went to the south of the wall to the Dung Gate. Now, this is interesting. You remember when they were rebuilding the walls in the early stages, Nehemiah chapter 4, they had some opponents, some naysayers, some critics, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, remember them? And they're working to rebuild this wall, and in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 3, these guys come up to them and they say, what are y'all trying to do here? I mean, if a little old fox climbs up on this wall, it's gonna crumble down. But Nehemiah and the people didn't listen. They said, we're doing too great a job. We're not coming down to meet with you. We're not stopping. And now, it's not a little fox up on top of the wall. According to scripture here, you've got two great processions, two great choirs standing on top of the wall. That wall is not going anywhere. Scholars tell us it was around 8 feet wide. So you get a large number of people widthwise, and then you got people following them, these two great processions. And what Nehemiah notes is that one choir started going south, and another started making their way north. I brought this picture of the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. And so I just give it to you to kind of give you some context. You see the great wall surrounding it. And so just imagine two great processions. And what are they doing? They are walking the wall. One's going to the south, the other's going to the north. And they are, again, consecrating the wall to the Lord. They are praising God, celebrating what he has done. Don't you know when they walked across the wall, they remembered, I laid that brick, and they are just doing this, and they meet together, these two great choirs, they meet together at the temple. Look at verse 38. The other choir of those who gave thanks went north. And Nehemiah says, I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the Tower of the Ovens, the broad wall. Look at verse 40, the first part. So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me. And he named some of the priests, and he named some of the singers. And then look at verse 43. This is where we're camping out today. This is where we're going to spend our time. He said, they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced. For God made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. I love that. They rejoice with great joy. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. That's the third movement we see. See, they have attempted something great for the glory of God. Then they consecrate their work and themselves to the Lord. Now, when you think consecration, again, we've got Mother's Day coming up in a few weeks, and we're going to have a parent-child, parent commitment, baby dedication is what we call it, child commitment. And what do? We bring these families up, and they have their child, and they symbolically offer that child to the Lord. They say, God, this son, this daughter is yours all of their days. They're not giving the child away physically, but they're declaring, God, this child is a gift from you and they belong to you. That's exactly what's happening in Nehemiah chapter 12. They're saying, God, all that we've done and all that we are, it's yours. And what is the result? Joy. Great joy. This is what we're experiencing today. We've attempted something great for the glory of God. And on Commitment Sunday, many of you came forward and you dropped your sacrificial offering and you laid it before the Lord and you consecrated it. Many of you paused and just prayed here at the altar. Others of you prayed together in homes and you laid it before the Lord. God, this is yours. And today we come forward to celebrate what God has done. And we say, Lord, all that we've done and all that we are is yours. Now, if you read chapter 13, we're not going to go into it today for a couple of reasons. One, time doesn't allow. Two, it's 10 years past the dedication of the temple, what we're reading about. And if you read it, Nehemiah goes back to Persia. And when he comes back to visit Jerusalem, the people have not kept their commitment to the Lord. And Nehemiah calls them out once again. It's just a good lesson to remember that we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, but really consecration's a daily activity. God, I'm yours. And tomorrow morning, I'm gonna have to wake up and say, God, I'm yours. All of me today. But in chapter 12, in this moment, they mean it from their heart. God, we're giving you everything that we've got and all that we've done for your glory. And what does God give them as a result? Ultimate joy. Commentator Douglas Nicolaitan said this: great joy comes from both receiving God's gifts and devoting them to him to use as he pleases. Now, just keep that on the screen, guys. I want to read it one more time. Think about this. Receiving God's gifts and devoting them back to him produces joy. I want you to hear in real life several testimonies that speak to this whole idea of attempting something great for God's glory, consecrating our work and ourselves to him and the joy that he gives. I mentioned on Commitment Sunday, Josue from our Spanish ministry. He's an engineer, has a work visa as an engineer, but due to recent changes in the immigration policies, he's waiting to see what's gonna happen. There's a real chance that he might have to leave the country. And he says, despite the uncertainty, my faith remains strong since arriving at Champion Forest. This church has deeply impacted my life and the life of my family. I found the children's ministry a place where my children are growing spiritually as well as the student ministry. And he says, I don't know what will happen or where I will be, but I'm giving in faith because just as this church has been a blessing to me and my family, It will be a blessing to others who do not yet know Jesus. He's attempting something great for the glory of God, consecrating it, and even in times of uncertainty, God's given him joy. Steve Allen, who works in our connection room after services, told me about a young man, and I quote, met this young man over a year ago in the connection room. He came by after the 10:45 service on Commitment Sunday to share his experience with me. He said he's in between jobs, and he came to the church with $200 in his pocket with no intention to participate in Next. He said as he stood there watching the congregation bring their sacrifices to the altar, God touched him and told him to take his $200 to the altar. After giving God every excuse not to follow his call, he finally went forward and brought his sacrifice. And he said, listen to this, the sense of obedience he felt was overwhelming. To God goes the glory. Greg Krill, member of our North Klein campus, a deacon in our church, he came to the first Saturday prayer earlier this month and pulled me aside and shared with me this story, and I said, would you please just put that in writing and email it to me? I asked him for permission to share today. He said, when I first heard about the Next initiative, you shared it with the deacons at the North Klein campus, I was really excited. My wife and I immediately started praying and knew that we wanted to be a part of it. We're excited to see what God is going to do in and through our church. We voiced our interest in being a part of the launch of the Magnolia campus. We then started praying about our next commitment, pledge, and first offering. As Commitment Sunday approached, we sat down, prayed, and filled out our pledge card and our check for our first offering. During that week, the enemy came full force to attack and discourage us. A few days earlier, I had a procedure and biopsies were taken from my stomach and esophagus, and the news came back that both were positive, that cancer was detected. We were devastated and we're trying to process the news, but we began to pray. That same day we got the biopsy news, my wife had to walk away from her job. So in a matter of a few days, we got bad news and lost financial stability. We thought, why, God? We just made our next commitment. The Saturday night before Commitment Sunday, the enemy really attacked, telling us that with all this going on, we could not follow through, that we were going to need those funds. And the enemy whispered that others would step up. We didn't need to give. We were also questioned by others around us if funds were going to be uncertain and we didn't know what finances would be for medical expenses, then why would we still give and make a commitment if we didn't know that we could keep it? But we knew our God was faithful. And he would provide a way for us to keep our commitment and to provide for the future. So Sunday came, and as they played the music, we prayed, held hands, and dropped our card and check in the basket. Consecration. What a God we serve. That very week, we got a refund check from an overpayment. We got news our mortgage payment went down, and our car insurance went down. That's a miracle in and of itself. All praise to our Lord and Savior. And at my follow-up, the doctor said the report that was read incorrectly. We were given wrong information. No cancer. To God be the glory, honor, and praise. He said, he is faithful. Our life group deacons, my prison ministry team, Bible study group, church staff, and pastors, along with family and friends, their prayers were heard and God answered. He said, are we blessed? Yes. He said, are we thankful? Yes. He said, are we surprised? No. What God starts, he finishes. He gave us a desire to commit even in the midst of adversity. We stayed obedient and he did the rest. I would tell anyone, don't let the enemy steal your blessing and joy. Be obedient, stay faithful, and watch God do amazing and wonderful things in and through your lives. My wife is still looking for employment, but we know that the perfect opportunity is coming, and one that will not only allow us to keep our commandment, but add to it in Jesus' name. We love our church, Greg and Sandra Krill. Amazing, isn't it? What a God we serve. Champion Force, it is Celebration Sunday. I think what you're gonna see here in just a few minutes is the truth that we've talked about today. We have attempted something great for the glory of God. Today we consecrate our work and all that we are to God. And you know what he's gonna give us in return? Joy. And I'm praying that the joy that he gives us, just like the joy of Jerusalem, was heard far away.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.